if you can slowly start to detach yourself from any material things, anything outside of the world that's not always already inside of you, of who your true nature and being is, you can attach yourself to trying to make everyone else happy. You can detach yourself to how other people feel about you and find your true worth is completely in love and kindness and peace and light, then you're going to come into your true self.
Welcome to Supernormalize, the podcast where we challenge the conventional, break boundaries, and normalize the seemingly supernatural. Join me, CJ Barnaby, in the liminalist space to explore less charted realms of existence and to unravel the mysteries of life experience. Each episode, I'm blessed with the opportunity to talk to regular people from across the world where they openly share their understanding and wisdom in service to others. If you're looking to upgrade your life, you've come to the right place. Be sure to like and subscribe, and I'll bring you great transforming conversations each week. My treasured viewers and listeners, if you have a life story or healing modality or unique knowledge you'd love to share, reach out to me at supernormalized@proton.me. Let's together embrace acceptance of the supernatural and unusual, what it really is, completely normal. Today on Supernormalized, I have the guest, Alicia Faricelli. A transformational coach whose journey from a challenging childhood to helping others discover their self-worth is nothing short of inspiring. Alicia's deep insights into overcoming trauma through inner child work, healing, meditation, and building self-worth have equipped her with valuable tools she now shares with her clients. In this episode, we explore her personal experiences, learn practical strategies for emotional healing, and find out how she empowers individuals to break free of their limitations. Watch or listen all the way to the end as we uncover the profound impact of inner work on achieving fulfillment and success, while looking forward to actionable takeaways that can spark our own paths to transformation. Welcome to Supernormalized, Alicia Faricelli. Alicia, you are a transformational coach, and you've had a journey which actually stemmed from a challenging childhood.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us all about that? And actually, how did those experiences shape your understanding of your self-worth? And welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah, super, super excited to share this afternoon and tell our listeners all about my journey and how the way that I help people. So, yeah. So I like to take people back to my childhood being I was born into a super religious, super conservative, very hellfire, damnation, fear-based mentality is what I was born into from my mother's womb on in. So that with that brought the challenges of being a super like a timid. I was a very timid, shy, really kind of scared, high anxiety child all the time. I never felt like I quite fit into different areas, different things in my life. But I was always so afraid of every single thing. And so that kind of drove into, you know, teenage years of doing some rebellion, doing some things that, you know, my parents brought a lot of shame to up on my parent, like my very, a lot of things I did brought shame into my family. And the guilt and shame stayed with me for a long, 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 long time. And so getting into my early 20s, like I was married, had two children very, very, very young, and then divorced before the age of 30. And then took more shame and guilt from my parents coming back in over that because of their religious background. And so as I was trying, you know, struggling with a single momhood, starting businesses and working corporate jobs on and off throughout the time, I was really just struggling. I had like no self-worth. And I say self-esteem is that self-esteem was kind of up and down, but I had no self-worth. I didn't have any I had passions, but I didn't think I had confidence to be able to do anything. And so I would start businesses and I would burn myself out, even if they were successful. So I got to the point I was probably around 35, 36 years old. And about 10 years ago, and I decided that I couldn't take anymore. It's like, I'm done. Like, I'm either this is done, and then I'm like ending my life, or else something's gonna have to change. So I literally said, prayer up to the universe. I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. And I still had that fundamental Christian, not this quite fear-based mindset, but just had a lot of the fear still put inside of me at this time. So things started to just flip around. I started to see new things come into my life, new perspectives as I was, kind of dealing through this. So I started really the healing process, I would say, really started then. Started getting into a lot of reading, a lot of self-development. I'm starting into podcasts, all kinds of different things, courses I can get my hands on. And so as I was going through this time, at the end of, say, about several years ago, I decided that I wanted to do business coaching and leave my real estate career, or put it on the hold a little bit. So as I was doing that, I wanted to go into business coaching. And I had this mindset belief that, you know what, I want to do this, but I haven't had multi-million dollar businesses. And I was like, that's such, just BS, Alicia, because you know what? You know how to do all these things. That's just a limiting belief, and you're going to walk your clients through it. So I started talking to clients, and they were like, well, they didn't have, I don't think, what's your thing? Do you think you can be able to do this? I don't really know. I don't think I have what it takes. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. We got to stop and go back and do some mindset work. So about the time I was like, I should probably do some more mindset work myself. So hired my own coach, worked with her in 90 days. She actually introduced me to energy work, breath work, meditation, all the modalities that within 90 days started to release and break up these energetic things inside of my body. And I started to be able to really start to fully or t start to more deeply heal. And so as I was healing, and I was, working my clients, working with them too, started adding on energy work, got Reiki master, did all kinds of all different energy modalities, trained in those. So as I was going through that, changing the breath work and meditation, it's like, there's still something that's missing inside of me. I feel like there's a missing piece here. And it's funny how the universe works. It's like, okay, Alicia, here's inner child healing. And so inner child healing stepped in. And so I was like, what is this? I'd heard the term, based in college, when I was taking, psychology classes, I had heard the term, reading books and doing some self-development, but I didn't really understand it. So I started diving deep into it, doing a lot of journaling, meditation, a lot of energy healing around that for myself, and a lot of calling in, divine guides and spirits. And so as I was doing that and some shadow work alongside, I realized it was little Alicia inside of me that was broken, that was didn't feel safe, didn't feel loved, didn't feel unconditionally loved. And I needed to give that to her. So I started working with her and started to give those modalities to her, started to show her kindness, started to listen to her because she was never listened to before. Her feelings were never validated. So started validating her feelings, started accepting those feelings, and starting letting her know that I'm now her new parent. But she can forget whatever she had before going on, that I'm now going to parent her. So when I started to do that, I started to see creativity thrive. I started to see a business thrive. I started to see all areas of my relationships, every single thing started to thrive. I started seeing people differently. I started to be able to interact with people differently, all because I started to tie that modality, started to tie that little Alicia, started to heal her, that my life started thriving. Now, is it every little piece of the puzzle still in there? I mean, that's part of life. I'm going throughout life. It's going to continue on and on, and there's more healing until the day that I'm in with this journey of this current life. So, yeah, that's my story of how I got to what I'm doing now.
Well, that's a neat summary and synopsis of what happens.
Yeah.
so I just rolling back there. Did it feel like you're under a lot of pressure during all that time?
Absolutely. I feel like I've been under pressure since the day I was born.
Right, right.
Being
What?
I was a Yeah.
Yeah. So what? How did you actually deal with that pressure? I mean, what were you doing as a child, for example?
Yeah. I mean, I was just scared and anxious. My dad was a preacher, so I had the pressures of a preacher's, you had the perfection, not only perfection, but the perfection within the certain religious situation that they were in, that we had to be perfect or else there was huge consequences to pay. So that was a lot of my anxiety. And just the abnor of the nerve that was happening throughout my childhood was derived to that. I mean, I don't how I coped was just, I don't know, I shying away, getting deeping down, and just becoming this little shy, timid child that stayed inside of me the entire time. When I got into my adolescence years, about 14 or 15, I just started rebelling. I started doing whatever I decided I wanted to do because I can't earn the appreciation or the love for my parents that I wasn't feeling. I'm talking unconditional love. And I didn't fit into anyone else. I found the people I fit in with. And so I started to dabble in, you know, just things that probably were, I would say, almost normal teenage stuff, you know, drinking light drugs, this type of thing. And so I got to dabble into that sort of thing. And it took me on a really roller coaster path in my life. A lot of guilt and shame, which piled on top of whatever guilt and shame I'd had just for being born into this family through, you know, childhood. I don't say it's bully situations, but just the way kids treat other people, you know, I didn't know how to socialize those skills. I didn't know how to interact with those skills and how to really stand up for myself because I always felt shy and timid. So as I got into, you know, into adulthood, it just turned into this, I have to do everything. I'm not good enough. I have to keep going. I have to keep doing more and more and more and more and more. And it never ended until I made that decision. And I started to heal that process and realize that my self-worth is not tied into how much I'm doing or how much I'm accomplishing in life. It's tied into just my inner being, who I am already. I already have that worth. So that was the biggest key thing for that.
Yeah. Sounds like part of the strategy was abandoning the inner child just to cope with it all.
Yeah, I had to. I mean, it's the reason why we have those coping skills, we have those skills, is to keep us protected, because at that age, we don't have the mental capacity, the emotional capacity to deal with adult things.
Yes.
And so we just decompartmentalize these things subconsciously into our brains and just kind of move on with the world.
Yeah, it's the only way to survive sometimes, because the
all
the pressure is so much, and the drama is so much as well. It's like you don't know how to place yourself in that, and or why it's happening. Often you're like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
as a child, you know, you're like, I don't know why these people are acting so crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why that they have to. Yeah, I don't understand why I'm, you know, if I do this thing, it's going to put me into this internal damnation of hell that I'm never going to be able to get out of. And it's like, yeah. Just the fear. I didn't understand why everybody was so fearful.
Yeah, I wonder why that they pass on that fear game. You know, it's like, what happened to them?
Lots of inner child wounds.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's a generational thing for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was born, yeah.
Well, it's good that you've actually broken that generational curse by becoming more aware of yourself and starting to assist your inner child with the shadow work and bringing it all back together and integrating yourself. That's fantastic. So what are the significant turning points in your journey towards healing after becoming a single mother?
I was so stressed out and I was doing everything and I had no physical energy. I had no mental energy. I was at the, and I think this was around the time I had event. I started an event company, and I started this event company because I couldn't find a job in events and I wanted to work in events, but I didn't have enough experience in events. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself, which has always put me in my mentality, which is very positive. It got me a lot of ways. And sometimes it's not so good because I've been kind of more self-sufficient. So as I was doing that and building this company, and it grew very, very quickly, and over a course of even like the last 2 years I had it, like just expanded very quickly to where I was working so many hours a week and making my profit levels were so low, but the company was bringing in a lot of money. But it was just the profitability levels and having to chase, like I was literally forking out tens of thousands of dollars a month. And then having to hope that it came back in time for me to be able to do the next $10,000 the next month for the ongoing clients I had. And so it was extremely stressful. And so once I hit that point, I was like, I'm done. Like, I cannot do any more of this. Like, there's something has to change. Like, something. And I still continue to run the company. And then I started about a year later, I decided to start leveling it off, started letting some clients go that were not aligned up with the vision of whatever I was doing, and then eventually worked myself out of it and worked myself back into a, you know, a very lucrative real estate company. But I was still doing the same thing. I was still hustle, 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 make it happen, hustle, 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 hustle. And I'm not good enough unless I'm reaching these goals that I hit, or I'm reaching these selling so many homes a year, or keeping up with everything else. And so that was really the thing that I couldn't do anymore. I was like, I just at the end of it, and I started, it just kind of flipped that switch. Is like, wait a minute, I'm doing all this work and I'm hitting the goals that I want, but I'm not happy with them. I'm not satisfied. Why am I not satisfied? Because I'm looking to the next 90 days instead of celebrating what I've already accomplished. And I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for everybody else, to make Alicia look good for everyone else. So everybody else would be proud of little Alicia. Little Alicia was suffering. Now, this I hadn't got into the inner child work, and I hadn't tied that into, and I hadn't healed little Alicia. So little Alicia was still like, you still have to do more. You're not good enough. We have to prove more. We have to do more and more and more. And imagine when, and you're spent on 80 hours a week, work week, and then you have, at a single, my daughter was in her teenage years at the, single mom at that time. It was like, I was physically, mentally split. And so I had a couple of breakdowns, I'm not gonna lie,
Yes,
emotional breakdowns,
naturally,
because
naturally.
I had to, I mean, it's naturally to have it come out. So,
Yeah, for
but
sure.
yeah, I mean, if I could go back and do what I know, the things that I know now, I don't know of what, because it's taught me how to be now. So
Yeah. Wild. That's really
yeah.
tough. Yeah. So, how did you start to discover inner child healing? I mean, you did talk about like an overview of it before, but can you break down the process that you were led through that actually helped you to sort of like formulate your own methods to work with people?
Yeah. So when I did that, I did a lot of reading, listened to a lot of podcasts, but in between this, that time, I had learned how to do intuitive meditation, calling in my guides and spirits to guide me. And so little by little, I would say, what's the key? What do I need to do? And so like, how do I connect? And I think I probably found an inner child meditation, and that was probably my first thing that I did to connect to a little Leisha. And so once I hit that initial connection to her, I was like, oh, this is it. So when I started talking to her, and I had my guides and spirits to guide me through that process and to reveal the things that was keeping blocking. And I do like a layer deep questioning. I'm like, okay, so how am I feeling like this? Why do I feel this way? Okay, well, explain this a little more. And where is this coming from? And just keep layering it down till I get to the actual root cause. And so I had a lot of, not visions, but a lot of memories start to pop up of things that were had that happened. And it was little things. It wasn't anything like majorly traumatic. Little things like, I'll use an example of my second grade teacher put my name on the board, and I cried the entire day, and I'd forgotten about this, but I went home crying to my parents and mom, because I was thinking I was gonna get in trouble. But it was more the fear that I did something wrong. I don't even remember what I think I was talking. Maybe I wasn't supposed to, but every other child in that entire room had their name on the board. So it wasn't that big of a deal. It was like I got suspended or just, major discipline of their name on the board. And so that was brought up to me through meditating and connecting with my inner child. I was like, oh, well, this now that's why I'm so afraid to get in trouble, to do something bad. That's where a lot of perfectionism comes from, is from this little wound. So I go back into that, talk to that wound. I'm like, is this wound, was it true then? No, I wasn't really in trouble. It was just a warning. Did it ruin my entire life now? No, it did not. And so now it's like going, now I can put that through. Does this mean that I have to be perfect the rest of my life? No. Am I perfect? No. Do I want to be perfect? I really don't. So I can really start to tie and take the subconscious and tie it into the consciousness, and almost rewrite, you're rewriting the limit, those belief systems that you have, and making it to where it's not true, but you're doing it through emotions and through the, you have to release those emotions out. So I had to release all the fear I had inside for that one little wound and moment. I had to release and sit in that for a little while, and it hurts. And it hurts when you have to sit in that, but
Yeah, no,
that's,
that's a
yeah, the
yeah.
process.
That's a method called recapitulation, where you actually go back over the process and actually release all the energy that's based around it.
Yeah.
So to burn it all off and then, basically
Yeah.
rewrite it in a better way. So that's cool
Yeah.
that you did it that way. I've got to ask you though, when you're actually sitting in that intuitive meditation and you're getting in contact with your guides and spirits, how did you know they're the right ones?
I asked multiple questions, and it was a gut feeling, and I worked with them for a while. Like, this was not my first time. And I worked with them enough to where they've recognized their names. They've given me kind of visuals, and I know when I see them come, I feel and see them.
Oh, wow,
through
cool.
just little things in my, and I know that I know who's showing up at this time. And that's a matter of working with them every single day for years and talking to them every single day and calling in other helpers and the way that it feels, but also putting that energy, that protection up that I don't want to call in, beings that are not of my best and highest use at the time. So I use a lot of protective measures around that.
Right, cool. Yeah, that I when I work with spirits, I actually get a lot of contact too. And yesterday I had to do a reading with the I Ching because I have this really intense transit coming up next year, you know, astrologically. And I was just thinking about actually doing that reading, and I walked past a lamp in our house and it just went really bright. I'm like, whoa. Walked past, I went, okay, this is going to be interesting. And I did the reading and it just said, everything's so amazing, don't worry about it. I was like, yay.
A funny story of one of my guides. I think she showed her face about a year and a half, or her name a year and a half ago. Her name was Rachel, and your audience will probably understand this. My family would not. I named the first stuffed animal I had Rachel. And I was like two or three. I didn't know anyone named Rachel before. And so what I found that really fascinating, I was like, are you sure that's your name? And she said, yes. Like it was like in a very strong, when it's like a yes. I was like, that is so amazing. Like I was like, that was like the first my little, doll or whatever I had, I named I'm Rachel. That was her name. And nobody could figure out where I got the name Rachel from. And then my best friend in first grade's name was Rachel too, which was I found really fascinating. So I have a tie with Rachel for some reason. And
That's
she's
cool.
been there for me the entire time, I feel like.
Nice. Part of your spirit team. That's nice. Okay, so you actually do a daily meditation, and can you share the impact that has had on your life and emotional well-being?
So meditation has changed my entire life. It's changed my thought focus. I have ADHD. I no longer take medication for it because of the side effects, and I not to just the process of it, it just didn't work well for me. But I'm able to meditate and to calm my brain down and focus throughout the day. And so if I start the days I don't start meditation, it's chaotic, it's crazy, and it's just I don't feel like I'm totally in alignment. So as I meditate again, I meditate on an Eastern philosophy, more spiritual level, calling in assistance and help, or as opposed to some times I'll do a guided meditation, like I'll do a Dr. Joe Dispenza meditation when I'm needing something in, or something for inner child, whatever that's already already prepared. So I'll do those occasionally, but I really love just putting music on and just tapping in and listening to what comes through for me. And so I'll spend probably sometimes 15 minutes and sometimes up to 45 minutes, just depends on how much is flowing through until they say, it's time. Like that's what I got for you. It has changed my entire day. It's changed my entire life because now I have it's a guidance system for me. Of course, I'm the one in control of the ship, but it's like the compass is like, go this direction. Or go this direction. And so I have actually had my entire business plan lined up for 2020, recording this in 2024 and 2025, lined up from one 15-minute meditation. They're like, this is what you're going to do, this, and this, and this, and this. Don't do anything else unless, it feels in alignment with these core principles or what you're doing. And so I was like, that is fantastic. I can move about my day, I can move about my whole year and start to plan it out. And everything is starting to line straight up. So that's how meditation's changed my life. My business has changed my relationships. My husband's become a big meditator too. It's calmed him down a lot. He's very high functioning, high D, just high energy, and he's now more calm and collected
Nice.
through meditation. I think I've seen the big I can see the biggest benefit from him. He probably sees it from me, vice versa, because we can see into each other. But I mean, I yeah, it's amazing the benefits to it.
A question around that. So, what sort of process do you do for your meditation? Do you actually sit still and quiet, or like is that one of your main processes?
So I do better if I have some type of music. So I'll put on some shamanic tribal meditation because I have past roots lives supposedly in that, and I have a long story behind that. But I've always connected very highly to tribal meditative music.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll put on some type of megahertz beats, some different types of bio beats. But I put something calming on, and I'll sit back. Because if I sit in silence, my brain starts to go, but that music starts to put me into a certain state of mind. And so it works very well for me.
Keeps you on track.
Keeps me straight on track, and it doesn't interfere with my meditation. So I can get back to I can focus on a singular, can only say thought, but singular idea or, focus point. And so I'll do that. And then sometimes I'll light a candle. I'll do some incense if I need to, or sage the room if I need to. And then, some essential oils to really start to get all the senses in line. And I have a mask because any type of light, I'm just like squirrel. So I put a mask on. I'm like, darkness, music, done. And I can get into that zone very quickly.
Nice.
Yeah. It works for me. It doesn't work for everyone else.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I've got a question about so when you started meditating and found your meditation groove, did that offer your life more resilience for stressful times?
Yes, because I always know I have this, it's almost like my time. I know I can go into this almost other world or this mindset, and I can have whatever I'm dealing with to either be released through me, nervous system calm down, or released through to me through through messages, through reassurance. And so it's really a matter of, again, calming my nervous system down with that. But just getting into that zone, yeah, it has definitely changed.
Nice. Okay, so what specific strategies did you implement to build your self-worth, and how can others apply them in their lives? I mean, you've talked about meditation, that's helped a lot. Is
Yeah.
there anything else you can give us a bit of a pro tip?
The key to my developing my self-worth was healing that inner child. It really, honestly, 100% was. Once I started to heal her, I started to see the worthiness started to come back. And then the second step was I was tying my self-worth into the amount of materialistic things I owned, how much success I had in my businesses. I tied myself to titles. I tied myself to I was a single mom. Now I'm a mom to adult children. Now, I'm a wife. Like I'm all this stuff. It's like I've tie had such identity tied into titles, a business owner, or if I had a job, it had to be like I had to be, very productive in there. I had to be on the top sales agents type. I tied my worth into that. And so once I decided that, this is really not, those things can be taken away from me, completely taken away in any moment. Does that make me unworthy? No. I had and a good example is I was laid off of two jobs within 6 months. And I lost a lot of things. I lost my apartment. I lost a lot of stuff. And so that took me, and I felt very worthless at that time. But when I look back at it, it's like that was not worthless because I rebuilt myself up 10 times from that moment. So if that was what my worth was around that, then again, that can be taken away. But then I come into, going through spiritual meditation and through spiritual practices and doing a lot of, spiritual, really on this path of spirituality. I realize that what I am is just love and light. And that's truly who I am to my core being. And so that is my self-worth. And if I am love and light to everybody and everything, then I'm worthy.
That's a deep message.
Yeah. It took a while to get there, but
Yeah, you've
that's where
done the
I'm
deep
at.
work. You've done the deep work.
Yeah.
How does your work as a certified life coach integrate emotional healing and practical business strategies?
Great question. So I call myself a life coach, but I think that's such an overused term. And it's because I have a life coach certification and people resonate with a life coach. I call myself more of a mentor and I am a coach, but I'm almost your friend mentor. So I walk the path with you. And so as far as the coaching I do, it ties into the inner child work, but it also ties into the things that are happening inside your business. So for instance, if you can't hit a certain number in your business, or you're constantly feeling like you're going to, lose your business, if you're on the scarcity mindset, if you're constantly chasing clients that are not good matches for you, and you're afraid to let those go. A lot of times tied into self or tied into inner child, which is tied into self-worth too. And so once we can start tying those two together, we start to see things start to flourish. in your business. A lot of times people think, well, my business is great, but my personal life is not great. But it doesn't matter. It's not affecting my business. It is absolutely affecting your business. Your personal life, business, relationships, all of that, your health, all of it ties together. And so that's where I come in with the life coaching is I work with people, through all aspects of their life. We're going to get down to your relationships. How are relationships, your personal relationships with your friends, your family, your relationships with, your community? How are all of those tied into? And then how's your health? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you not just your physical health, but your mental health? Are you doing things every single day that you need to be doing to take care of your, caring for yourself? Are you meditating, journaling? Are you doing whatever modalities that you need to do to get your mindset right in the morning? And then we take into the spiritual portion. Are you connecting? And by spiritual, you don't have to have this deep connection to some type of religious act. It's just a knowing of there's something else out there, and it could be, tied into yourself. So how deeply connected are your is your spirit? And so we start working on practices to connect your spirit to your mind and body. So it's all that's kind of the life coaching practice that I use.
It
I don't
sounds
go into say, yeah, we're going to do marketing plans today. We're going to do, we're going to work on, getting new clients in today. No, we're going to tie in, why are you not getting new clients in? Is it something that happened, of course, in your childhood? And how is this affecting? Are you even taking care of your physical health? Because you're not taking your physical health. Your mental health is going to decline.
Have you discovered common emotional barriers that your clients face, and how do you help overcome these challenges?
Yes. So I find that most people that come to me have, they're in a slight, if not extreme, victim mentality. And I resonate very well with this. I've been there and I've did that work to come. And so they're victims of their situations. And that's their entire story. Well, I can't do this because this happened to me. Or I can't do this because of my situation. And so instead of coming from a different lens of this is all I have around me in this situation that I can make work, they're focusing on the negative portion parts of their self. So we start to take that down, take that little lens down a little bit to bring out a little bit more of the light. And it's a slow to slow process because we can't go in and say, oh, your life's amazing. Look at all these great things you have. Because you're still, if you have a still a dark cover over that, you're not going to be able to still see it. You're just moving that cover and it's coming right back. So we slowly move that cover away until it disappears.
Okay. Can you share any success stories from someone you've worked with that illustrates the power of healing?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Let's see.
Make sure you anonymize it too.
Yeah, I'm trying to like which one. I'm going to give a general because I don't like to talk too much about my clients because if they do happen to
Yeah,
listen to my podcast, they'd
exactly.
be like,
Yeah. No, you don't want to
this is
do
me.
that.
Let's see. I have a client that. Oh wow, yeah. So she had a job, ended up getting laid off, found another job, and then in that time, it wasn't the right fit for her. But we manifested this job in. But she also had some healing to do on her own. And so after this time, we kind of separated ways, but she took all the modalities I had given her and over this past 6 months has used them. And every time I talk to her, she has a shining, shining face on her. And this makes me so happy because number one, she listened. She did the work and then she took it when it was the hardest time in her life to start to make the changes and started to change and to do the work. And she did the work. I didn't do it. I just gave her the tools, but she actually did the work. And it's just such a beautiful process to see clients, just the transformation I see with them, over within 90 days, just to see the light, they start to smile a little more. They come into the calls, they're coming to the calls really sad at first. And they start to come to the calls like, all right, I got to my three good things I'm going to tell you. Cause I always make them tell me three good things at the very beginning. Here's my three good things that happened to me. And they, instead of like having to reach for it, it's just like automatic comes off of their mouth. Yeah. I love it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's it'd be heartwarming to see the people change and the growth they go through, for sure.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone just beginning their healing journey?
Stick with it. It's tough. It's not fun at first. And you're going to be like, why am I doing this? Just know that the more that you do it, the longer you do it. And it just take the little baby steps. You don't have to be, I have to heal tomorrow. take the first little baby step that it is. It's waking up in the morning and just saying one thing you're grateful for. That's one little baby step. Do that every morning. Start that for a month and just see how you start to feel. And then add a couple other things, like add two or three more gratitudes on it. Add a big stretch in the morning. Put a smile on your face. Give yourself a high five. I mean, all the things. Just start to gradually build those up, and you're going to start to see the change. But the first day, and the first you first start, it's tough. It is tough, and you're going to have so many people being like, "Why are you trying to do this? Why are you not your same self?" Because they're so used to that, and just let them be that way, and just stick on the path, and just make that decision and determination, the commitment to yourself that you're going to start to heal and change, because you know at the end it's going to be worth it all.
Nice. Is there any other message that you'd like to share with the listeners? Maybe a question I didn't ask that you would have liked to have been asked?
Oh man, I think you covered a lot. I would love to reiterate the, I just, I like to re reiterate the self-worth thing of finding the true self-worth of within yourself. And to, if you can slowly start to detach yourself from any material things, anything outside of the world that's not always already inside of you, of who your true nature and being is, you can attach yourself to trying to make everyone else happy. You can detach yourself to how other people feel about you. And find your true worth is completely in love and kindness and peace and light, then you're going to come into your true self. And it's not going to matter if people don't like you. It's not going to matter if you lose your job. It's not going to matter if you go bankrupt. It's not going to matter all this stuff that's not going to matter. It's going to matter. It's not going to matter to the extent of your worth. You'll be like, well, you know what? I'm still worthy of this, and I'm going to pick myself back up and keep going.
Yeah, that's a good reframe for sure. How can my listeners connect with you and learn more about your work as a transformational coach?
Yeah. So my website's the best way, aliciafarricielli.com, aliciafarricielli.com. There's a button at the top that says book a free consult. So book, there's up to talk up to 60 minutes. And if you just need, you're having a bad day, you need to talk to someone, please just, give me a schedule that consultation. We'll go through kind of what you're dealing with. I'll give you some tips and things to walk away with. And of course, if you want to work with me one-on-one coaching, I have a couple spots available as we're recording this now. So I would absolutely love to chat with you. And of course, I'm on almost the social media. It's just not Twitter or X or whatever it is now.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your understanding of your own inner child transformation and sharing your story with us, Alicia. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
All right, then. I'll just say goodbye to the listeners. As you can tell by how quickly that episode went, we packed in a lot of information very densely, and that happens when we have. Often I find what happens when we have people that are very high functioning and very energetic. So all power to Alicia and the work that she's doing. It's really important that people find a way to discover healing themselves through their inner child work. So I really appreciate her sharing today, and I think that, yeah, this work is important. If you've enjoyed today's show, please like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. And if you are on a podcast app, give me 5 stars and something, say something nice. That'd be really nice. Then other people can get to hear these stories. If you know somebody that actually could benefit from hearing this story, please get on your app and whatever you're on and just share it. Share it just to one person. That'd be super appreciated. Thank you so much for listening. And until next episode, it's a bye for now.